Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. American artist Elizabeth Catlett spent much of her career as an expatriate. While beloved by artists for her captivating portrayals of black women, she was also marginalized by academia and, for a time, even her own government. Now the works of this compelling, politically aware artist are on display at the Biggs Museum of American Art in Dover. And in this edition of Arts Playlist, Delaware Public Media's Martin Matheny is joined by Biggs curator of American art, Laura Fravel, to learn more about Elizabeth Catlett.
Who was Elizabeth Catlett?
Elizabeth Catlett is kind of a titan in American art. She's one of the best-known artists of the 20th century and a pioneering black woman, too, in her field. She started out in the 1930s. That's really when she first decided she wanted to be an artist. She was originally hoping to go to Carnegie Tech, now Carnegie Mellon University, but was denied entrance due to her race. She then entered Howard University, an HBCU, and the first HBCU that had its own dedicated art department. That was the first time that she saw an African-American artist and realized that this is a career path that she wanted for herself and could pursue. Unfortunately, had a family that supported her in that and encouraged her in that. From there, she went to the University of Iowa. And why the University of Iowa, you might ask? Because that is where Grant Wood was. And he was one of the most famous artists in the country at the time. And she thought, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it in the best way possible. He was a wonderful mentor to her and encouraged her to focus on something she knew best. And for him, as an American regionalist painter, that was cornfields, that was the Midwest, that was landscapes. You might know his work from things like American Gothic, that painting of the farmer and his daughter with the pitchfork. But for Catlett, that becomes the lives of black women in this country, that these are people who surrounded her in life. These are strong, proud women who are almost unrepresented in the art of her time. And she wanted to capture their joys and their sorrows.
And then she spent some time in Mexico as well.
She did. She went there in 1946 for a fellowship in printmaking. Up to that point, she'd mostly been focusing on sculpture and thought that was her preferred medium, kind of took this little detour and fell in love with it. Also fell in love at the printmaking workshop, married Francisco Pancho Mora, who was her husband. And this was at the Tela de Gráfica Popular. This is a printmaking workshop that also has an activist political component. And that is where she mastered things like lino cuts. And prints lend themselves to political imagery because you can make a lot of them relatively inexpensively and make many, many copies of them to distribute. She had always been an activist to some extent. At one point in her life, she even protested on the steps of the Supreme Court with a noose around her neck to protest lynching. Briefly, when she was teaching in New Orleans, she organized the first trip of African-American students to the New Orleans Museum of Art. So she's always trying to push the envelope to advocate for those who are underrepresented. But with this new tool of printmaking, it really expanded in Mexico. And that came at great personal cost in many ways. In the 1950s, she was arrested at a Mexican rail workers' strike for being a foreign agitator. And then to avoid further arrests and deportation, she became a Mexican citizen in 1962. That same year, the U.S. government labeled her an undesirable alien, and claiming that the printmaking workshop was a communist front, it barred Catlett and all the other artists associated with the workshop from entering the U.S. And though for decades, she couldn't come back to the places that she grew up. In 1971, she finally got a visa to return to attend her own opening at the Studio Museum in Harlem. And then finally, her American citizenship was reinstated in 2002. So a long struggle to keep that connection to her home going. And during that time, she made Mexico City her home.
You mentioned she started with sculpture and then shifted her focus to printmaking. How would you describe her works in both of those media?
Yes, I should say, I said shifted, but I think she kept a love for both of them throughout her life. Her work in sculpture ranges from carved wood to bronze. Some of it does focus more representationally on the lives of Black women. Some of it is much more abstract. We have a piece in our exhibition now called Magic Mask that looks almost like a very smoothed out African mask, something that was left in a riverbed for a while, that's got these lovely curves and wonderful angles as you walk around it. Her work in printmaking ranges again from the very detailed and representational to the more abstract, often focusing on the lives of underrepresented people, whether that is Black women or Mexican laborers, but also very colorful. And that's something that I like in our show, too, is these vibrant tones that come through, whether it's in this piece of all these women dancing at a party, or there's a piece, White Room, you first rock on the show, called There's a Woman of Every Color, that on the side has, I think, every color in her palette going down of the same image repeated over and over. And that's something wonderful about printmaking, is that you can play with series and repetition even within a single piece. For her life, one thing we haven't touched on yet is themes of motherhood in her work, that she, many of her children, grandchildren, then took up artistic careers themselves in some form, including one of her granddaughters, Mora, was a winner on America's Next Top Model and now a photographer.
How did this exhibition come about?
This exhibition has been traveling for a little while, and then through serendipity, the dates for one of their openings lined up with the dates on our calendar, but I knew it would be interesting. And I liked this focus on her work in particular because this entire exhibition is from the personal collection of Samela Lewis. And Samela Lewis was a student of Catlett's in the 1940s and stayed her lifelong friend. So I think has a unique perspective on her work. Samela Lewis is an artist herself, but also was the first Black woman in the country to get her doctorate in art history. She was pioneering in that field and really wrote some of the first books on African-American art in this country, including the first major monograph on Catlett's work. So it is a perspective on this great artist that I don't think we've seen that much. The show also includes a few pieces by Samela Lewis herself and then some by Mora, Catlett's husband.
You gave us kind of a sketch of Elizabeth Catlett's life and career, and it seems to me that there's this continuous through line of being marginalized and even rejected in America by academia, and as you mentioned, even by her own government. What did it take to get this American artist at least a start on the recognition that she deserves?
Yes, well, I talked about from that larger, more bureaucratic perspective, that type of rejection or the lines that are drawn. I don't want to make it seem like she was unknown in her own time. She was absolutely celebrated, had solo shows in the U.S., even though she was not able to travel to them, that the work itself was so strong that that carried her message for her. And I think some of that was her early investment in as many training opportunities as possible. And later she credited that to part of her success, is that she had that technical expertise that she could convey the message she had in her head effectively. When she taught herself, she would encourage her students to, again, invest in those technical studies. Even if you're taking a class that you don't think applies to what you want to do, you're always learning and refining your own tools to express yourself.
Can you talk a little bit about her influence as a teacher and some of the students that she worked with?
Dr. Samela Lewis, I think, is the best example of that. And I love that in our show, we can talk a bit about their relationship. And in the book that Lewis wrote, she included an entire section of Catlett's advice while she was teaching, where she just took down word for word these snippets. And in our exhibition, the final gallery, we've made a more interactive space. And we've actually let our visitors add the best advice they've been given to this communal wall and pass that on, too. And I love seeing that develop, too, not just for art students, but members of our community, of what has stuck with them through life and helped to guide them.
Are there particular messages from that communal wall that have stuck with you personally?
It is still developing, and there are a few that resonate with me. A lot of them deal with perseverance, of knowing what you want to do and where you want to go and continuing with that even if nobody believes in you in that moment. Some of them have to do with the power of art, even if you're not an artist, just spending time in a space like a museum or creating something can take you out of your own head and take a weight off of you, and how that's been impactful to people.
In a larger sense, one of the things that struck me about her career is the time, especially sort of the early years that she was in Mexico City, and some of the other great luminaries that she was acquainted with, that she was sharing ideas with Diego Rivera, Frida Kahlo. Talk a little bit, if you will, about just sort of the larger sense of that scene at that time and how it might have influenced her.
Yes. Well, she went for this fellowship knowing a bit about what she was stepping into. At that point, she had studied Diego Rivera in school. The Mexican muralist movement was well underway. She'd briefly worked with the Work Progress Administration in the U.S., but I don't think she expected to be transformed in the way that she was. And many of the printmakers involved with this workshop were also themselves muralist painters in the community. That was another way to get the message out or to work with the community. And so many people in that circle, I think, helped her figure out how to expand her own message in her printmaking.
I may be taking a step too far. I may be getting way ahead of my skis on this, but I see the connection between muralists and printmakers, and both of those being art that is maybe designed to be super accessible to the general public, art that meets people where they are. And then I also note that Elizabeth Catlett was a WPA artist at one point in her career as well, and sort of that same connection of putting art where people are. And I wonder if that's a through line that we can kind of draw through her career.
Oh, absolutely. And she often spoke about putting art in service of the people, that it wasn't just something for her personally to do to express herself, but it had a purpose as well in the wider world. And that was, I think, a thoughtful approach into what she decided to put out.
Finally, what can we learn today? And we're just about 14 years after Elizabeth Catlett's death. She had an incredibly long life and career. What can we learn today from her art and from the way she lived her life?
Well, I think her work continues to resonate, to echo through the generations. But for the wider world, I've, through this exhibition, met so many teachers locally who show Catlett's work in their class, but have never been able to show their students this work in person before, which I think is unique about the Biggs, that we are here on the Delmarva Peninsula, the only museum really serving this community. And I'm thinking in particular about a college professor who teaches a course on Black art, and then a elementary middle school teacher who showed an image of Catlett's work in her class and then was here with her class for another event and got sidetracked going through the show because they knew these images. So I think there's a familiarity there, but more people are starting to connect her name with it as well, that you might know the images, even if you don't know her name yet.
Laura Favell, thank you so much for your time, and best of luck with this exhibition.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to Biggs Curator of American Art, Laura Favell, for joining our Martin Matheny on this edition of Arts Playlist. The Art of Elizabeth Catlett from the collection of Samela Lewis is on display at the Biggs Museum through June 22nd.